it's a deal. The DUP, Sinn Féin and the British and Irish governments have struck an agreement to save the Assembly. The deal covers a way forward on paramilitarism and welfare reform, but there is no agreement on dealing with Northern Ireland's troubled past. Here's how the deal was announced yesterday by the Secretary of State, Teresa Villiers, and the Irish Foreign Minister, Charlie Flanagan, First Minister, Peter Robinson, and the Deputy First Minister, Martin McGuinness.
I believe this is a good day for Northern Ireland, and it marks a fresh start for Northern Ireland's devolved institutions.
The last 10 weeks of intensive negotiations have been challenging, but have also been constructive. The resulting agreement provides a credible roadmap.
We believe the agreement will consolidate the peace, secure stability, enable progress, and offer all our people hope for the future.
This agreement signals our resolve to engender the sea change which our community is demanding. A new beginning for politics, an opportunity to move forward with a real sense of hope and purpose.
Well, Conor Murphy from Sinn Féin is with me now. Good morning to you, Conor. So you've broken your promise to your electorate when you promised them no current or future claimant would be left out of pocket. It's gone. You've sold out.
No, we haven't at all. What happened was that there was a very substantial sea change in terms of the whole benefits and tax credit issue in July when the Chancellor made a statement. We were then presented with a situation where there was a vast new number of people who were going to suffer as a consequence of British government policies. Over 100,000 families across the north were going to be out of pocket as a consequence of that. We're then faced with a situation where we either stick to the agreement that we had in Stormont House and abandon all of those people who will suffer as a consequence of tax credit cuts, or to try and secure more money into a pot and try and spread that across the huge number of people then that who are going to suffer as a consequence of the decision, both on welfare and on tax credit.
You're digging yourself out of the hole, aren't you? And I just, you know, some people listening to this morning, the people who vote for you, will remember what you said when we take away the spin. And what your promise was that benefits under Assembly control would be protected in full. And of course, tax credits is not under Assembly control. So it's a red herring. It is your way of digging yourself out of the hole. You stood up tall and you promised people in your community that benefits under Assembly control would be protected in full. You have sold your people out.
No, and we continue to stand up tall. And that, as I say, that statement was made in terms of the benefits we were dealing with last December. Since that, we've had the re-election of a Tory government on their own. We've had further onslaughts on welfare and on tax credits. And we were faced with a situation which was completely different from that which faced us last December, in which we took a very firm position. We then looked to see the totality of the benefits issue plus the tax credit issues was way beyond the means of the Assembly. So we then looked for an arrangement where we could secure additional money and to try and assist those most vulnerable. And in doing that, we have set up a panel of experts headed by Eileen Evison to come forward with programmes to target directly a very substantial amount of money, almost £600 million, at the most needy in society over the next 4 years, with a review on the other end of that 4 years to see what is needed to continue that work going forward.
Well, hold on a minute.
There was a change to that, and that was a change as a consequence of what we were facing.
You really think people are going to swallow this, Conor?
You really think people
are going to swallow this?
Than we were facing last December. And the parties have to look at those things and try and get the best deal possible out of that. And I think we've secured a better deal across the full range of people who are going to be affected than simply sticking to one category of people and abandoning the rest.
Here's a man who underlined the Sinn Féin pledge as recently as September on this show. You might recognise his voice. Sinn Féin's promise to the public is that no present or future claimants will be affected by anything that Stormont control. And the DUP are saying can't be done. Now, are you keeping your promise to the public, or might you have to shift that ground?
No, that's what we said, and that was our understanding of the agreement, and that's reflected in some of the papers that were exchanged when it came to the working out of the detail of delivering on that by the DSD minister. Then what came forward fell short of what we had agreed, and so we want to get back to what we had agreed.
It's not going to happen, though.
Well, the DUP's view is that it can't be done Our view is that it can, and let's see, can we reach an agreement in relation to that? I'm not saying it's a slight disagreement.
You see, Conor, that was you in September. Guess what? 2 months after tax credits was introduced.
Yes.
You were saying it could be done. So it's your words. 2 months after. This tax credits issue is a red herring, and you know it. Why don't you just say you couldn't keep your promise?
Sorry, the tax credits issue is not a red herring for 103,000 families who will suffer as a consequence of it. It's a real issue for working poor families.
But you knew about it in September when you were making the pledge.
If you allow me to answer, I mean, I'm giving you a great space to present all the case to me. You might allow me to answer some of it. The 103,000 families who are estimated will suffer as a consequence of this are the very people that the Tories told us welfare cuts were in, to encourage back into work, and now they're punishing people who are in work and are struggling. So that was a position when we were beginning a negotiation to try and secure a better agreement for the full range of people who are now affected by cuts. And of course, you don't alter your position at the start of a negotiation. You try and secure a better position. And I feel what we have done is secure a better position for all of those people who will suffer as a consequence of Tory policies.
Martin McGuinness at an anti-austerity rally in June. He declared Sinn Féin will not do Tory austerity.
And we're not.
That was his
vow. The Assembly has acted as a bulwark against Tory austerity. We've prevented water charges, we've prevented prescription charges, we have capped tuition fees, and now we have set aside almost £600 million to target the most vulnerable in society, who the Tories are attacking mercilessly.
£600 million over 4 years.
Sorry, can I finish? We have set aside that, and the Assembly will continue to act as a bulwark against Tory austerity, and that, I think, is the thing that ensures that we decide to stay there, decide to use that institution to protect people in our society who otherwise would be exposed to the full remit of the Tory direct rule policies.
You're handing the power to Westminster to bring in welfare reform.
No, we're not indeed.
You're handing the power to them.
No, we're not actually, Stephen.
You're not?
Well, what other parties argued for, interestingly, was a one-day session in the Assembly. We have a one-day session in the Assembly. The Theresa Villiers, when she talked about this issue a number of months ago, talked about in the consequence of the Assembly or the parties not agreeing that they would, over the heads and against the wishes of the Assembly, take responsibility for welfare powers and impose the full gambit of what they were proposing in relation to welfare. We have an agreement. We have the Assembly today will decide whether it will approve the legislation that welfare that the Westminster will pass. That will save us, if that is a consequence of today's decision as passed Melford in Westminster, will save us £40 million. And at the end of that process, there is a sunset clause which then reverts the power back to the Assembly. So this is a one-off process to save us £40 million because this issue has dragged on for so long and it would not be possible perhaps to secure the full passage of that in the Assembly.
The bottom line.
The mandate. So it's a one-off process. It does not hand any power to anyone. The power reverts immediately when this process is finished back to the Assembly.
The bottom line is, Martin McGuinness, wasn't you? It was Martin McGuinness. I'll read exactly what he said because I've looked it all up. Any move by the British government to impose its welfare cuts agenda over the heads of the Assembly and the Executive will seriously undermine devolution and the political institutions. Well, I guess, to be fair to Martin McGuinness, it hasn't been imposed over your heads. You've agreed to it.
Yes.
It's at your request. Asking the British government to impose welfare reform cuts on your people.
Well, let me take you back again. The context of that was the Theresa Villiers outline, and Martin McGuinness was quite correct, and that would still be the position if those consequences were unfolding, that in the absence of any agreement, that she was going to take powers off the Assembly and impose their solution. And Martin McGuinness quite correctly and clearly said that would be unacceptable to him and unacceptable to
us. This is the same Martin McGuinness who said Sinn Féin will not do Tory austerity.
Yes, and we aren't. But let me get back to the point that you started
with. Yes, you are.
Let me get back to the point you started with in dealing with the legislation. We clearly said that that would be unacceptable. We have a case now where we have an agreement where we have set aside a very substantial fund over 4 years to mitigate against what the Tories are doing. We will save £40 million by the Assembly. Firstly, the Assembly has the right to approve the legislation that's going to Westminster. That will be passed in Westminster, and then that power reverts back to us. And in doing so, we save £40 million, which can be directed to other areas that the Executive decides are a priority. It is not a case of handing power over to anyone, and Martin McGuinness was quite correct. In the circumstances that Theresa Villiers outlined would have been unacceptable to us and would continue to be unacceptable to us.
I just want people to know how the numbers actually stack up when you break them down. because the old welfare mitigation package was $564 million over 6 years.
Yes.
So in other words, that was the Stormont House Agreement last year. You said absolutely not. So there was £94 million a year to mitigate against welfare reform. And you rejected that. Do you know how much it is now? £86.2 million a year for welfare reform mitigation. So you're actually £8 million short of where you were last year. £8 million less, and you're selling this as a good deal.
We have now set aside £150 million a year over 4 years. So you mean you can pick one half of the equation, if you like, and try and present it as something. The reality is we have decided between ourselves and the DUP, and other parties also said that there was an obligation, when we discussed this around the table, there was an obligation for us now to try and deal with the tax credits issues. So we have now set aside a pool of money for welfare and a pool of money for tax credit issues, and that amounts to £150 million a year over 4 years.
But you acknowledge there's less money for welfare reform, don't you?
Actually, better than 90-odd million over 6 years.
Sure. Do you, acknowledge there's less money for welfare reform, Connor?
Yeah, we have a
mitigation.
Sorry, well, you can pick it one way or the other. We have a combined pool of £150 million to deal with people who are going to suffer as a consequence of Tory government policy.
Yeah.
Now, that's better than £90 million a year for people who are going to suffer. We now have a much broader pool of people who are going to be impacted, and we have set aside a larger sum of money to deal with that over 4 years, with a commitment at the end of that 4 years to review it, and also a commitment that we will set aside a team of experts to target that money. So it's not down to an argument in terms of schemes between us and the DSD minister. An independent panel led up by Eileen Evison will target that money at the most vulnerable. And the First and Deputy First Minister yesterday committed to accepting her recommendation.
Less money.
Should come forward by January.
Less money than there was last year. You see, what this is about...
You can say less money, I say more money. I think £150 million is more than £90 million. I think the 100,000 other families who will benefit of the consequences is more than we're being protected under this.
Yeah, but the reason I'm banging on about the figures is because I'm taking my steer from you. Because
yeah, you're taking your steer from me.
Hold on.
In December last year.
Hold on,
we're
no.
Now in November.
Well,
this
let me finish
we
the
have
point.
A new government with a new set of targets in terms of.
But you are the government.
Society to try and hit them. We have a responsibility and to try and protect those people as much as we can.
Sure.
And we have set aside more money to do that.
I get that, but you see, if we set aside, if we remove tax credits from this, because your pledge to your electorate was that you would not allow. Benefits under the Assembly's control. You said that they would be protected in full, and you are breaking that pledge. It is a statement of fact that Sinn Féin promised something and has broken it. Statement of fact. Now,
yeah. You have the luxury of setting aside tax credits for purposes of this argument. We, as elected representatives, don't have the luxury to the people that we represent of setting aside tax credits.
But what happened? To your concerns about how people, vulnerable people, would be harmed? But your concerns were that vulnerable people would be harmed if the welfare reform cuts were allowed to be implemented. You now have less money to mitigate against welfare reform cuts than when you did when you were warning us that people would suffer.
Yes, and I go back to the point that there are more people now, 100,000 families, over 100,000 families now more, who will suffer as a consequence of British government policy. And the parties at the sitting around the table agreed that we had a responsibility to try and do something to protect people against tax credit cuts. That meant we had to spread a larger sum of money across a much, much broader pool of people. And therefore, we committed more money to address a much, much broader pool of people. And that's what we have done. So it's not setting aside tax credits for the purposes of this argument. It's recognising the very real difficulties that face ordinary working families who are struggling to pay bills, the impact of the Tory policy, which is supposed to be about getting people back into work, but is actually hitting those who are struggling to work and trying to provide some support to those families, as well as providing the maximum amount of support possible to people who are suffering as a consequence of benefit cuts.
Here's what Gerry Adams said in January.
We're very, very clear. No one will have any benefit reduced which is under the authority of the Assembly here or of the Executive. And that was our key point on this issue.
Here's what Martin McGuinness said in May.
Well, I'll be meeting Theresa Vigers in the morning very early, and I'll be telling her that would be a very huge mistake. I think Theresa knows it would be a huge mistake.
That was about bringing in the welfare cuts legislation that you now want Teresa Villiers to bring in.
I'm talking to you in November in the consequence of the impact of tax credits and the decision that ourselves and all of the parties took, that as well as trying to deal with the welfare issue, which we'd agreed in Stormont House, we also needed to look at the impact on families who were going to suffer as a consequence of the tax credit. Okay. And the decision that we took that we had to try and find more money and try and provide as much mitigation as possible across the broad swathe of people who are now going to be affected by British government policy. And that's what you see emerging
okay.
from that.
So last question, Conor.
We can play back what was said in January in the circumstances of January or December.
You said it in September.
Of November,
no, you said it in September after. You said it in September after tax credits was on the agenda.
Yes.
2 months after.
And exactly, and I've explained to you, we were in the beginning of a negotiation then with other parties about how we would, whether and how we would deal with the tax credit issues. You don't alter your position ahead of securing a better position. And what I believe we've done is secure a better position across the broad range of people who are going to be impacted by British government policy.
Okay. Listen, final question, and thank you, by the way, for your time today. You did warn people very, very loud and clear that you were concerned about vulnerable people who vote for you being harmed by these welfare cuts. And you did promise, and I get it, okay? I get it that that promise is gone, and you say because of circumstances and because of a new negotiation and because of tax credits. But because that the benefits under the Assembly's control are now not protected in full, can you tell me which group of vulnerable people will be getting hit? Who's not going to be protected?
No, what we have done, as I said, is we have asked a panel led by Eileen Everson, who's a leading expert in this field and comes from a philosophy of supporting people who are suffering as a consequence of these policies, to bring forward recommendations to us in January so that we can effectively target, not to get into an arrangement whereby DSD were bringing forward schemes and we were arguing with them about the schemes, but actually an independent panel of experts would bring forward recommendations as to how we can target those most vulnerable. And that may be full cover for certain categories of people. We'll see what they bring
forward. But there's not going to be enough money for all vulnerable people.
Sorry, the First and Deputy First Minister, yes, he committed to supporting whatever recommendations she brings forward. So there will be no continuing arguments among politicians over this issue, but rather an independent panel of experts will bring forward recommendations. And those people know the situation. They know how this is going to impact on people. And they are people who have a track record of supporting vulnerable people, and they will advise us on how to target that money at the most vulnerable people.
She's going to have to make tough decisions, isn't she? Okay, Conor, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Stephen.
Appreciate your time this morning.